I hear you, Teresa. I'm going to see if anyone else is interested. Anyone else? So, Chris, if you want, we'll go back to you after Teresa.
Barry, in addition to all of your staff, how many FTEs in contractual employees do you have right now?
Well, right now we're down to, I think, about 23, I believe it is. We went from
23 FTE contractors?
Yeah. No, it's a full-time employee.
23 employees, FTE, whereas like two part-timers would count as a full-timer. So you have 23 FTEs. How many contractors?
Right now we only have one.
One contractor. Okay. Is that Christine Blasdale then?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Chris?
Yeah, James.
I was calling you and I was muted. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and ask your questions and just share yourself for a moment. I got a call from the chair of the board, and I think he wanted to join us. For a minute, I'm going to see if I can get him on my phone.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just had a follow-up question to the last one. And if you're uncomfortable answering this question, just skip over it, and I'll accept that. The negotiation union is ongoing, of course. Do you anticipate that it'll be over before the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th?
Yeah, I think it will be over by the end of the fiscal year 21, yes. I think it will be.
Okay.
We'll reach a settlement.
Okay, great. So there are three categories here that are basically generally considered to be fixed costs, but I couldn't help but noticing that these costs have increased a lot over the last previous 12 months. It's rent/lease equipment, utilities, office, and general repairs and maintenance. Is there anything specific or extraordinary about those expense categories that occurred in this last year that would drive these costs up? I'm gathering, for example, that the utilities bills have gone up quite a bit because the state of California has jacked the rates due to all the fire-related issues. That's an example of the kind of feedback I'm looking from you. Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, that's one issue. The utility rates during the month of, the summer month, they really go up high. They really increase in numbers. So we usually go from, like, in the winter months or the fall months, the utility bills usually increase by 20%. So they're pretty significant. Because of the legal negotiations, like I mentioned before, we've had to pay a law firm almost $52,000 in legal fees, and then we have almost $9,000 outstanding, and we still owe them. So that's really been exorbitant.
Barry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you've already answered the question about the legal fees. It's just the rent/lease equipment, utilities, and general repairs and maintenance. If you could, I gather that the utility rates must have gone up because this year versus last year is a lot more. It's not just seasonal.
Before you answer, Barry, I just want to let you know and everyone else know that the chair of the Pacifica National Board is now on the call with us, Alex Steinberg, and he'll be listening in and participating.
Sharon, I object to the inclusion of Alex Steinberg on the call. He's not part of the National Finance Committee, and there is no reason for him to be on the call unless we're going to allow anybody that wants to be on the call to come and be on the call. So I'm putting in a formal objection to his presence on this call. And I'd like to make a motion that he not be allowed to attend on this call. I'm looking at the bylaws about what is allowed, and he's not allowed to be on this call. Unless you're going to invite me to the next PNC meeting.
That's not true. Any director can participate in any committee of the National Board.
There's no bylaw provision for that, and I'm looking directly at Article 8 about what states, who the NFC
is.
Please don't interrupt me while I'm speaking.
I'm asking you to hold on. There was crosstalk.
I'm asking you to stop. I was speaking and I was interrupted.
I agree with you. Please just hold for a second. I agree with you. Okay. We're not going to have the crosstalk. So, Sharon, go ahead, and Alex, I'll recognize you when she's done.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sharon.
I'm looking at the bylaws, Article 8, Section 3, states who is allowed to be on the National Finance Committee. It's stated in detail, and it does not state the chair of the PNB is on the National Finance Committee, so he's not a member of his committee and therefore should not be on the call.
Mr. Chair?
Okay, finished?
yes, I'm finished.
I heard someone, but I want to let Alex go ahead. Who was that I heard?
R. Paul.
Go ahead, R. Let me hear from Alex, R. Paul. He was next. You'll be next.
Okay. The claim that I'm not on the committee is correct, but I am allowed to participate in the deliberations of the committee. I don't have a vote on the committee, obviously. So, and that's always been the case. It's an argument that there's no basis for this objection.
All right, let's go to R. Paul.
Yeah. That's it. We can invite anybody we want. The chair of the PNB is not allowed to vote, of course, and he's not a member of the committee. He doesn't count for quorum. However, we can invite people in. We have a non-member on the call right now. We have general managers on the call. We can bring in people as we please. So there's no bar to the chair of the PNB being called in for, I don't know what the reason is, but it can happen. So there's no, the bylaws aren't against that. That's all.
Sharon for the staff.
Sharon, I'm going to give you one more chance on that, and then I'm going to make a ruling, and then we'll go to a vote if we have to. Go ahead, Sharon.
I agree. People can be invited into this call, and Mr. Steinberg was not invited. It was a unilateral decision made by the chair for unknown reasons, and I really just think it's totally inappropriate. I believe that we are having a perfectly fine meeting. We don't need any input. It just means that Mr. Steinberg will be taking up time that we, the committee members, should be using to discuss the financial situation. And he has nothing to say about that. We will make a recommendation as we do or don't, and it will go to the PNB. And then as a chair, he can do anything he wants. It's inappropriate for you, Mr. Staggerton, to just randomly invite somebody in. Yes, Barry Brooks is on the call because we all knew he was going to be on the call and he was specifically invited to speak about KPFK. We don't even know why Mr. Steinberg is on this call. He just, I guess, decided to call in and then now he's officially invited. No, that's not an invitation to the call. And there is no provision in the bylaws that says the chair of the PNB can just join any committee at will. That is incorrect. And that is the type of abuse of these bylaws that, you know, constantly occurs. And yes, I'm done now, James.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm going to ask that the committee, I think we need to move. I'm going to move to extend an additional 10 minutes for this item. Is there any objection?
Yes, I object. I made a motion that Mr. Steinberg be removed from this call, and we don't need a second on the committee, so I would like my motion to be voted on.
So I'm going to rule the motion out of order. I'm going to ask if there's any objection to extending for 10 minutes.
I object.
Okay. Let's go to a vote. Mr. Secretary, could you take the vote?
Okay, give me a second here so I can catch up with everybody. Let's see. All right. So this is the extension for 10 minutes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
10 minutes from now.
It'll be 10 minutes from if it, I'll tell you what it is. All right. Motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
No.
Teresa J. Allen. Teresa J. Allen.
I'm sorry, Allen abstains.
Nick Arena, Fred Blair.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
Yes.
Lyndon Foley. Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Anita Sims.
Yes.
Okay. Lyndon Foley, you're not here, right? Right. 7-4, one against, one abstention.
Thank you, Paul.
And it is now 9:49, which means the hour is up, so we have extended 10 minutes from now.
Very good. Thank you. Now I'm going to go ahead and recognize Alex. And Alex, I don't think we need to go into the details of, what just happened. If you had a question for Barry or some other comment you wanted to make, go ahead.
James, I have a point of order.
I don't have any comments at this time.
I heard a point of order. Was that you, Chris?
Yes, it is. I was actually in the middle of questions when Mr. Steinberg joined the call.
Very sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
It's okay. So, Barry, once again, there were three items that were quite a bit higher than last year's budget. One was rent/lease equipment. The other was utilities, office, and the third was general repairs and maintenance. Are there any specific or extraordinary circumstances that would have led to those increases?
Yeah, repairs went up because we've been having problems with our plumbing. So we've had a number of instances of Roto-Rooter coming in here to try to unplug our 4-inch line. It cost us on one visit $9,000 because of the method they used to get rid of the roots in the line, which I thought was just outrageous. So that was one problem. And then people keep putting too much paper sometimes in the toilet downstairs and it backs up. So we have to call a plumber. So that's part of the repairs problem. The rent equipment is due because we got a new Pitney Bowes machine that replaced our old machine. So we got a sorter machine, and we got a mail package machine. So that was more expensive than what we were paying for the old machine, too. So that was a significant difference, because I believe we paid like $5,000 a quarter for Pitney Bowes to lease that, to rent that equipment. And like I was saying to you before, the utilities have went up because during the summer months, we have the California Edison bills of in excess of $8,000 to $9,000 to cover the cooling of the Mount Wilson site for the transmitter up there. So yeah, those
okay. Thank you, Barry. James, I actually only had one more question left. Do you mind if I just go on to it and clear it out?
Not at all. Please do.
Okay. Okay, so the only question I had left was the other large category that appears conspicuously larger than the other stations, and this has been widely discussed, so I just want you to give your opinion on it. The premiums to other vendors category is extremely high for your state, $1,000 a month, and I understand that these are used as incentives for your fund drives. I just want your opinion as to whether those expenses could be brought down at all without adversely impacting your income, which you've already complained is a source of the misery at KPFK.
Well, you're right about that, in that in previous fund drives, we used to use our premiums to our advantage, but yes, you're right, because we have to pay out for packaging and mails for the premiums to the donors. We have cut back our premiums significantly from, say, from our fund drive back in February or even in October, too. So we're going more for through a community-based programming system, and we're trying to minimize our premiums. You're right, that is a significant amount that you know, for the premiums, but you know, those premiums make money for us sometimes, but there is a cost associated with that too. Involved.
Understood. One quick follow-up, and you don't need to actually give it on to the committee if you don't have it handy, and that would be, do you have any idea how much you've reduced it since the early part of this year? I mean, percentage-wise, just roughly.
It's about 30% cutback. We've cut back our premiums.
Thank you, Barry. I really appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Teresa for the stack.
Thank you, Chris. Teresa, I hear you. I'm going to go to you in a moment. Is there anybody else after Teresa? And I want to say that I would like to go one final time before our time is up to Fred and Anita, since those are the two people that need to work most closely with Barry in order to get the work done at the Finance Committee at KPFK and with our accountants at NETA. So, Fred and Anita, if you have any other questions or anything that you could suggest that would help you in your work that Barry might be able to help you with, I'd like you to go ahead and ask that in a moment after we hear from Teresa. Go ahead, Teresa.
Barry, you might not be the person to talk to about this, but this might help you reduce some of your premium costs. I think that KPFA, at the beginning of COVID, had a very successful pledge drive. And I got the impression that it was because they emphasized one or two other nonprofits other than the station. And here's an idea that KPFT has done quite successfully in the past. Find a donor, for example, that is willing to give, let's say, $50,000 to Meals on Wheels, and then say to your listeners, if you forego a premium and you give $100, this person, while you give $100 to KPFK, this person will give $100 to Meals on Wheels. So anybody that decides not to take a premium, they know they're not only helping KPFK, but they're helping this other nonprofit. All it means is finding a generous person that will create some sort of match to another. Not only do they love KPFK, but they love another charity. So I would think that's something that in the past has cut down significantly on costs, because people can feel good when they have a premium, but they also feel good when they know that they can make their money twice as valuable and help somebody. So just a thought. And I'd be happy to talk to anyone in your development fundraising department that would like to talk about it.
Bats to the stack.
Thank you, Teresa. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm finished. Thank you.
All right, let me see. I think Barry's trying to answer. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, at the time, we don't have a programming manager, but you might want to talk to Terry Guy. He's handling some of the programming for us. So,
Terry what?
Terry Guy.
G-U-Y?
G-U-Y, yeah.
Okay, I'll just call the station and talk to Gary Guy.
Terry Guy.
Terry Guy. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Beth to the staff.
Okay, Beth, go ahead. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, the station, KBFK, already makes use of some degree of what's known as third-party fundraising. And there has been some concern because there was a time when that was not allowed on public radio. Those regulations have been reformed to allow it under certain circumstances, but under highly regulated conditions. And it's not clear that we have the accountability in place to expand on that or continue with it, actually. And I've raised the issue before. We need to review it at the policy level and accounting level and legal level. And I agree, the couple of people that use it find it very effective. But I think before we go any further with it, we need to be sure that we're entirely within compliance. So thank you.
Well, this is Teresa. May I respond?
Thank you, Beth. Go ahead, Teresa, but please be brief. As I said a moment ago, I want to give Barry, give Fred and Anita a last shot. But go ahead.
I appreciate that, and I know that if, for example, a couple years ago, we got permission to raise money to go straight to Haiti, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about raising money for your station, and another person is not keeping any money from your station, and they're just matching it and giving it to another charity. But I'll pursue it so that the Terry guy could actually do the research and find out whether there's any problems with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Now, I'm going to go to you, Fred, and ask if you have any questions about how Barry could help you in your work.
I'm out of ideas. I think you need to move on to Anita. I'm out of ideas at this point. Okay, I'm sorry.
Very good. Thank you, Fred. Anita, anything that we could do or Barry could do to help you in your work with him?
Well, I really want to just extend the offer, Barry, is to say that, and I know that you communicate quite well with Julia, and Tamara is one to allow us to really dig into it as we have started to do, and also to exchange information. And again, for us, it's really just being able to come up with a good budget for next year. And if we can help you with that, please call on us.
Any last comment, Barry?
I concur with Anita. I have been working on the fiscal year 2022 budget. Because of the layoffs and because of the people that have left, and then we just recently had a on-air host that quit, the budget is going to be pretty good as far as, you know, balancing the budget because, you know, the salary cost has gone significantly down because we're down, you know, down 35% versus October. So it should be pretty well. It should go pretty well for the budget for fiscal year 2022.
And Barry, I apologize. I have one last question for you. What is your daily take now, you know, average?
Okay.
Is it 6,500, 6,000?
Yeah. Well, that's funny you should ask that. Today, we are at 197,695 for 35 days, which is an average of $5,648 per day. So that's not sustainable. It's not. Won't work.
Understood. I want to also let you know, Barry, that I'm hoping to invite Bertold Reimers, the general manager at WBAI, who's doing what he calls a 52-week fundraising schedule where he does three and a half hours of fundraising a day, and he doesn't have 35, 40-day-long fund drives that tend to drive listeners away. And it's working pretty good. Maybe you can listen in on that meeting and see if you can pick up any thoughts on that.
When is that meeting going to be held?
It's going to be, I hope it's going to be, I don't know, the chair is on the call. I hope it's going to be at the next PMB meeting.
Okay.
It'll be during the Finance Committee report.
Okay.
So thank you very much for coming, Barry, again on short notice. Appreciate you coming and answering questions for us. And I realize the difficulties involved. And thank you very much.
You're welcome, James.
Okay.
Teresa, may I ask a question of Alex since he's on the call?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, Alex, do you know when the general manager at KPFK and KPFT, when they're due to begin?
Yes, the general manager at KPFT, I thought, was supposed to begin this week. Possibly that's changed, but that was the last I heard. The general manager at KPFK is supposed to begin in mid-September.
Okay. So this week, when you say this week, do you have any idea which day?
I was under the impression that he was going to start Monday, but I guess if you are you telling me that's not the case? He has not started?
Hasn't notified anybody that I know of.
Okay.
I sure would like to know. We're real curious here.
Well, I can only tell you that's what we were told by the executive director at the last PMB meeting.
Okay.
Maybe Monday something has changed, possibly.
Monday the 23rd, then. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because first we were told August 1st, then August 8th, then August 15th. And so now we're just kind of like, I don't want to give up asking, but we are curious. Thank you. If you can get to the answer to that, I sure would appreciate it.
I'll try. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Let's move ahead now. We've only got a few minutes left with our agenda. Anita, you're next with a ICFO report, and specifically, I was hoping you could say a little something about the central services payments. But if you don't want to use the whole 20 minutes, I wouldn't mind that, because I'd like to hear how the stations are doing in working on their budgets for 2022. But the floor is yours now.
Thank you, and I'll be brief. I did send out the central services payment schedule, if you will, and
yes,
if you have an opportunity to look at it. Being very brief, you can see in August we've only received what we received from two stations, KPFA and KPFW, the payments, if you will. We show an outstanding benefit cost. The only station that's not paid is WBAI. But the total amount outstanding is $610,539. So that is funds that are not in the national office. Any questions?
Obviously not sustainable.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Not a question, a comment. Anyone else with a question for Anita?
I guess I have a question for Anita.
And
go
this
ahead,
is
Teresa.
Sharon. I have a question also.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sharon. Go ahead, Sharon.
Oh, well, Teresa? Okay.
No, no, I thought your voice was Teresa's. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sharon.
Oh, okay. So, are you going to talk about the aged payables also, or can I ask a question about that now, Anita?
Yeah, you certainly may.
Okay, so I'm looking at the aged payable report, which you also sent, and, of course, I see again that NEPA is, you know, the one that we've more than $82,000 is owed. So, and Rogers, our accountant, more than $40,000 is owed. Although with Rogers, it's not, well, no, it is over 30 days, $34,000. My question, though, I'm just making that as a comment to state some of the obligations that Pacifica does have. I do have a question, though, about Advocates for Justice, which is also owed more than $44,000. When I'm looking at it and it says over 30 days, that number is $29,000, and then over 60 days, the amount owed is $15,000. So, again, just tell me if I'm reading this correctly. Does that mean that between 60 days and 30 days, there was a bill for $14,000? And between 30 days and the present, there was another bill for $15,000?
Yes, it's two separate invoices.
Okay, thank you. That was my question. I do find it interesting that somebody that supposedly works for Pacifica is running up these huge bills, but I'll leave that for another time.
Hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, good idea. All right, let's go to the next item, which is...
I'm sorry. May I ask, what does Advocates for Justice do?
That's our corporate counsel, Arthur Schwartz. He's settling lawsuits, handling lawsuits.
Oh.
Sharon, okay. Please.
Can I ask a question?
Is that a request for information, Alex?
I'll put you on the staff.
Yeah. Sure. Go ahead, Sharon.
I just want to respond to Teresa's inquiry and say that the corporate counsel does get a retainer every month, which is supposed to cover his work for Pacifica. So I'm not quite sure why there's all these extra hours being padded in there, but hey, that's how it works, I guess.
I'm going to object to the use of the word padded. I'm sure that the retainer is included in there, and I think we need not to characterize the work of our corporate counsel in that way.
$10,000 every month.
Teresa, for the stack.
I'm sorry. Alex had a question, and then Teresa.
Yeah. Anita, do you know how much of these legal bills are the responsibility of the lawsuit that emanates from the chair of the KPFA LSB and Ms. Turner and Mr. Goldmacher?
I do not, Mr. Chair, but I'll get that information, the breakout.
It would be good to know. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, and go ahead, Teresa.
I would just beg the PNB members to stay on top of this and take control of it.
Well, I'll say if people could stop suing us, maybe we'd be able to do that. All right. Let's go a quick round robin to all the stations and see how people are doing with their budgets. Paul, do you want to start with WBAI and we'll go around the country?
What agenda item is this?
This is the number 10, the budget timelines for fiscal year 2022.
This is budget timelines. Okay.
Yeah, I know we haven't set official timelines. I'm just seeing how people are doing in preparing their budgets.
Okay.
Just to get a snapshot.
Okay. Yes, at WBAI, we've pretty decently nailed down what we think revenue will be. And at our next meeting, we're going to start really going after the expenses, although the expenses are largely fixed and not something that we can do much about a lot of it. But we'll be looking at that, and we'll probably also see if we can tweak the revenue a bit. So we're largely through a bunch of it, but we still have a bit of work to do. That's it.
I'm going to ask our Paul if you have any desire to venture out on a limb and give us any thought of when we might get a budget.
I'm wondering. let's see. It depends. When we get a budget means when it goes to the LSB.
Right.
In September, the meeting is very early. In October, it's the 13th, so I am projecting October, November, somewhere in there, probably. No guarantees, of course.
Okay. Not great, but better than last year. Okay, next, WPFW. Julie, do you have any information on how they're coming along with the budget?
Yeah, regretfully, I missed the last budget committee meeting, except to say that we were doing well in the meeting prior to that. So I feel like we're pretty much on schedule. I think, again, probably like you all at WBAI, it's the timing of when it gets to the LSB and then, assuming that it gets on the agenda for that LSB the next LSB meeting. But I think we've run into issues where, some LSB members want to, you know, stop and think about it a little bit more. And so then it might take till the next month. So it would be, you know, at least into October till we would be able to pass the budget. But I don't project any significant difficulties.
Good to know. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. And let's go to KPFT.
We met our finance. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. We met last week. We were presented a budget by our business manager. We thought that our general manager was going to be there, and because this person wasn't there, we have scheduled another finance committee meeting for Tuesday the 31st to try to have this person on the phone to kind of weigh in on this budget before we present it to the local station board for approval to come to the finance committee. So that's where we're at. We have a budget, but the finance committee does not want to approve it until the new general manager can look at it.
Understandable. Well, that sounds helpful.
Chair, we're...
Thank you.
Chair, this is Chris Corey. We're almost out of time.
Go ahead,
can I move to extend for 10 minutes?
Sure you can. I think you just did.
Okay.
Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, we're extended. Thank you, Chris. Let's move around to KPFK. Fred, you're the treasurer there. Would you like to let us know how or if you're making progress?
Well, the problem is that we're waiting for a new general manager to show up in another about 3 weeks. So nothing has really happened on a budget other than what's happening with Nita finishing up this budget for FY21. And that's we're going to use that as a template for next year. Okay?
Right. I wish I had asked Barry when he was here if he wanted us to go ahead with NETA and create a draft budget that, you know, we could start on so that we could have something for the general manager when he arrives. Well, maybe we can take that up outside of the meeting. Anything else from KPFK, Beth? Do you have anything to add?
Not at the moment. So much of station business has been in limbo with not a strong presence of an interim general manager and awaiting the new general manager. So... I'm very grateful for what the National Committee and NETA has been able to do with this process. Thank you.
Thank you, NETA.
Got it. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to KPFA.
Okay, we are having budget workshops this week to go over the budget, and we expect to most likely pass the budget at our next LSD meeting, which is September 18th. So then we'll pass it on to the NFC at that point.
Great. Does it go to your LSB? Was
on
that?
September 18th. On September 18th.
September 18th for the LSB. Got it.
And then we'll pass, I expect, we're going to go over it this week, and then we're probably going to vote on it and most likely approve it. I can't say that, but, you know, assuming. September 18th, so then it should be okay to forward it on to the NFC after that.
Very good. Thank you, Sharon. Chris, anything more on that?
No, Sharon stays way more on top of the station budget than I do because she's treasurer, of course. So, no, nothing to add.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, that we did our trip around the country there. We did extend for 10 minutes. So I think we still have, 7 minutes left.
Well, this is Teresa then. Could I say one thing?
Sure.
I think it would help significantly with KPFT doing their budget if we knew that if our building does sell, whether we would get any of that money to help toward another building. And we are waiting the board to say whether we would get anything if we do sell our building. So
understood.
If you are on the national board, maybe you can help with that, because we are kind of in the limbo with that. We have no building.
Yeah, well, I think there's been some questions about what's happening with funds from the sale of buildings at a few places in the network. And that's one of the things that we need to get some information from the interim executive director. And some other things that we need information about that are listed on the agenda under number 11, which are national office, which is national office updates. And I did want to spend a few minutes, since we have a couple left, to just review and see if there's any addition to this list. And I just heard the one from Teresa about how much money they might expect from the sale of the studio building on Lovett. And so I have on number 11, National Office Updates, we need an aged payables report from the National Office. We need to know what's going on with Allegiance. There is a report that the initial setup and training fees have not yet been paid, and one of them has been due since last September. We need to know, we would like to get a report on the FJC payables, how that's been going. And we've had a request for the paperwork on the Texas house sale. We've had a request for the FJC revised contract, which Arthur offered to send us at the last DNB meeting, so we'll have to follow up with him on that. We also need to follow up on access for NEDA to the KPFT bank accounts. I don't think we need to wait for the general manager to arrive to accomplish that. I understand that Markeisha is now officially acting as the interim general manager. Theoretically, she could help us with that. And we have the I already mentioned the – I didn't mention the KPFT studio sale broker's contract that we requested and still have not received. So that's just a quick review of the things that I came up with off the top of my head in writing the agenda. Is there anything else that anyone recalls in our previous work where we needed an update from the national office?
Oh, I did want to mention that the way you expressed the situation involving the bank account made it sound like it's been our general managers that's preventing us from knowing how much is in the bank account. That's interesting. Thank you.
No. I apologize. That's a misimpression. We had a motion some time ago from the National Finance Committee to the PNB asking to give eyes only viewing privileges of the bank accounts for all of the units, and everyone has complied, except we have not yet gotten that from KPFT, and that would help the accounting work go better. It would help us keep a tighter eye on our cash flow in this time of cash flow difficulties. We just need to know, we need to get, I guess we need a signature, is that right, Anita? We need a signature to get that access to the bank account.
I'm sorry, my phone dropped. I just came back on.
Oh.
Sorry.
We were discussing the need for, I believe we need a signature on the KPFT bank account so that you can have your view-only access to it.
I believe so.
And I did hear, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. I was going to say, I think you are correct. It is essential that they're missing, but I don't know what the holdup is.
I was just saying, we heard recently on the national board that Markeisha was acting as the interim general manager in the absence of the new arrival. So perhaps we could get that from her?
Yes.
So maybe you could reach out to her and request that.
I will do.
I don't think we need to take any action. We can just do that. Am I hearing someone else requesting the stack? I guess I'm just hearing some static. Anybody else has any, is there anybody else who has anything that we might need an update from the national office on? If you can't think of any now and one comes to you later, please shoot me an email and I'll add it to the list and I'll either make a report and just send it to Lydia and request information, or perhaps we can put it into a motion and put the power of the committee behind it. We'll see.
Chair, I have a quick question.
Go ahead, Chris. Corey.
So we went over the KPFK budget with Barry tonight. There's some stuff. There's some low hanging fruit there. What is our next step here? Do members of the committee offer suggestions to the committee itself, to NEDA? What is the protocol for moving this football down the field?
Good question. I think perhaps we should just start in the committee. If we put this item on the agenda for next time, we can see if anybody has any suggestions, and we can put it, in the form of a motion and send it, I guess, to the PNB with a recommendation. I mean, that doesn't stop anybody from informally passing anything along to any TA and to the KPFK, to the Finance Committee, to Barry, to the chair of their LSB.
As I mentioned, again, as Anita, if I may comment, the reason
please.
I kind of extended the offer on this call to Barry is that I'm sincere in working with him to get this resolved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, R. Paul, I think we're out of time, are we?
Yeah, looks like it.
I'm going to just ask if anybody has any last question, and then we'll call it adjourned. Anything else? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Anita. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Alex.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Thanks. Good night.